us as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
Greetings, greetings all. Once again, continuing just more fight and stunt exclusive interviews. And here we go. We got John Satberry. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
So John has just a giant career in front of and behind the camera, on stage for the most part. Just like with anything, how did you decide you wanted to get into this part of the industry? In entertainment and all?
I took drama. Once I found out that drama was a thing, because I'm old, so drama wasn't real popular when I was in school. But, and that's how I kind of fell into it. I went to the school I went to after I graduated, a couple of other guys came through, and the teacher was still showing my performance years after I had left. And then somehow a couple of the people who were in that class, we ended up working at the same place, and they were already in connections with some people who did some stage performances and concerts, and we just kind of formed our little group, the Cry Havoc fight choreography team, and we started getting gigs.
Okay, nice. Where was this based?
Austin, Texas.
Oh, right, nice. Okay, another Texan to another Texan. Awesome. So we're here in Dallas. And who was your mentor?
I don't have one. I don't have a mentor. Like I said, I was just having fun with it, and then found out I could make money doing it. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah, just kind of right place, right time. A lot of times for me.
Are there any theater and film groups you've been associated with the most?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've traveled around just different batch of people and group each time. Okay, cool.
Yep. Get hired out by different people. Yeah.
How many projects have you worked on completely?
I wish this could have been. I don't remember. I mean, there's so many. I couldn't put a number on it. Okay. I mean, I've been a pro wrestler too. I've had pro wrestling matches. I've done. When it comes to live performances, I've been around the block. It's many. Now, as far as film. You brought up Fighting with Anger, which
yes,
it's a terrible movie.
I've never even heard of it. I don't know that it got a release anywhere.
Don't watch it. But it is a martial arts movie, and it was filmed here in Austin, and I was the lead fight choreographer. But how things go, I didn't get the credit for that. But I got paid. I just didn't get the credit on the film for that. So.
That sucks, but hey.
I'm sure there's probably a couple other things, but that's the one I can remember as far as film goes.
Okay. Did you ever do any like extras or stand-in kind of deals? Or?
Yeah. I recently did a commercial. I've done more than one commercial. See, there's a lot of a lot. Okay. Yeah, I've done a couple commercials. Worked with Jeff Swan. I want to say his name is Jeff Swan. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm getting his name right. There's a, what, I Am Water is a stunt team out in California. The guy that runs that, we've done stuff together because he used to live here. I fought him hand to hand. I fought him with lightsabers.
Sweet.
And that guy's name is Robert. Wow. Okay.
They do a lot of theme park type stuff.
Theme, yes, done that too. Done the kids camps where you're, you're alive. You're an actor. You know, improv actor, like all day. For like, 12 hours straight or so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. What is it that you just desire the most out of just these live appearances, other than that you get instant feedback and, get to see the looks on everyone's face?
Yeah, I definitely prefer live to film because with live, you have to have a person. I like live and then improv, because it's the hardest to do. Film is cool, and the older I get, the more I like film, because then I can do a little bit, then take a break. And if I mess up, I can redo something. But, with live, you get one shot. And if you mess up, you have to make the audience think you didn't.
So. Right. You got to insert a improv to just cover up the flub.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you already kind of big into material like that growing up? So it just was like... you're going to a theme park, but you're actually interacting. you are the attraction.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at my age now, I still like doing live, but improv, you get hired out and it kind of becomes sort of like circus clown work, which is fine, but doesn't appeal to me as much anymore. When I was younger, I was totally fine with being, kind of a circus clown. But now it's, I prefer to, have everything kind of like, I want to get with a group, choreograph it or whatever. And, yeah.
Okay, very cool. Have there been any other just entertainment type displays that you've been just actually trying to reach out and conjure up, like brainstorm and bring to life with other partners and producers?
Right now I'm getting my YouTube channel up and going and thinking about settling down and just critiquing fight scenes.
Sweet.
Just sit down critiquing fight scenes and every once in a while maybe doing one or two. I know everybody around the area who's a fight choreographer or has film projects that they're working on and stuff like that. So I can always bring one of those people in and throw some punches at them and film it. But, I've done a lot of that and I am looking to kind of settle down and just give my opinion and maybe give some pointers to other people trying to get into the art.
Totally. Did you have any other just people who you were very inspired by? I mean, whether it was just seeing them in a movie, as a well-known choreographer or stunt performer, or was it mostly just kind of just whatever goes, whatever caught your eye, that's cool. I'll reference that.
Well, I mean, not to sound cliche or anything, but of course, Bruce Lee inspired me. My two biggest inspirations were Bruce Lee, mm-hmm. A guy by the name of Shokosugi, who I believe at one point was the highest paid Japanese actor in the United States at some point in the 80s. I think he was, but he, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he is like the most popular, you know, he's the ninja, right? Yeah. He's everybody's ninja. The Ultimate Warrior, who was a professional wrestler. So, you know, with Bruce Lee, he has a lot of personality, just and charisma, you know,
right.
Shokasugi brings an element of, when I say snap, of course, Bruce Lee also has that snap, but Sho has a different type of snap. And with the Ultimate Warrior, you got this larger than life, character, creating a world around his character and, just bringing an energy and, just unstoppable energy. And those three, I would say, inspired me a lot as far as like movies go and stuff like that. I mean, one of my favorite fight scenes of all time is They Live, the fight from They Live, Roddy Piper versus Keith David. And of course, one of my other favorite fight scenes of all time, actually my favorite fight scene of all time, is from a movie called Any Which Way You Can.
Nice.
The sequel to Every Which Way But Loose. Mm-hmm. And yes, the final fight between Clint Eastwood and I don't remember the other guy's name, but Clint Eastwood and the main guy in Any Which Way You Can. It's one of my it's my favorite fight scene of all time. So, I mean, as a martial artist, that probably sounds kind of weird. Oh, your two favorite fights don't have martial arts in them. Well, I'm a performer, you know, and a lot of martial arts fights, they lack personality. They lack storytelling. It's like, didn't you just get kicked in the head? Why are you still standing? You know? And so, you know, with the fight scenes from like They Live and fight scenes from like Any Which Way You Can, you see a deterioration, of the human body over time through the fight, which I just think a lot of people overlook because a lot of people are, I want to do this kick. That happens a lot. People come up and it's like, I want to do a fight scene because I want to do this kick. Okay. It's like, all right, cool. I mean, how about, you know, do you want to tell a story or you just want to do a kick? You know? So it's like, I like to be more of a storyteller with my fight scenes. I don't care if I don't get to throw a kick, because if I just got shot, the kick, I'm not going to be able to throw a kick, you know, a special spinning helicopter kick, you know? So it's like, story, right, to me is more important. It's the most important thing.
Well, and I can feel your pain. I have had the misfortune of working on just low budget to just very amateur, just train wrecks of independent film projects. And I want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. You don't need money to be great, but you also got to keep in mind, you know, people's time and making every shot matter. And I think the biggest issue, you know, you've worked on these independent films, so you know, there's just a lot of people who they can stroke each other's ego, but not necessarily know how to just get anything done on time. It's like they have cameras, but don't necessarily know how to use them or create a story that's actually interesting. So I feel your pain in that. Yes, with fight scenes, there's almost always someone who just doesn't want to think how to actually display the fight and capture it on camera, let alone, you know, be a part of the choreography process and, you know, or just throw a fight in there just for the hell of it. And they don't think, what does this actually got to do with the story?
Right.
You're just distracting everyone and they're not going to like or even react to that fight scene if they don't know what it has to do with anything.
Right. I mean, you know, I was on the set of, there's so many things. See, now I'm talking, I'm remembering other things. I was on the set of it was fun. I had a great time. I was on the set of zombie independent thing about with zombies, and I was not the lead choreographer at the time, but my input was simply, why isn't the zombie trying to bite his hand? You know, if you're grabbing the zombie, I mean, you know, why isn't the zombie trying to bite his arm? You know, certain things like that. It's like those little things, the details is what a lot of the younger guys, I wouldn't even say younger guys, because if you go back to like watching Hong Kong cinema, I can't even watch those movies anymore too, because it's, I'm just like, how, I mean, you just fought 10 guys and now let's, Kiss of the Dragon. All right. Jet Li goes in there and he fights all those karate guys. And then I think like shortly after that, he fights Eminem and his bigger brother. And it's just like, don't you want to drink water for like, I would need a nap. You know, I mean, it's, you just fought like 20 guys. I mean, now you're going to go fight two more guys. I mean, you know, it's like little things like that. People don't, the good thing about it is though, the majority of the public doesn't make that connection either. So it's like, well, if you put this in your fight, it would be better. But if you don't, a lot of people are not even going to notice that because they're going to see your fancy kick and everything's fine. Right.
Oh, totally. So,
yeah, so it's like, so it's like you want to educate, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, what do you do when people are like, oh my God, the kick was cool? You know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Totally. And it seems like, you know, everyone doesn't even want to plan the time, and especially for inevitable reshoots or something. And it's just like, okay, you don't have $1 million. You can't go back and fix that. And yeah. Post will only cover up so much, and people are adapt to it now. They notice stuff on their big screen HD TVs that they wouldn't have noticed 20 years ago. And, you know, the last thing anyone needs to do is become a meme of, someone couldn't bother to dub the dialogue the right way, or you gave away the whole story in like literally the first two sentences. So we have literally, we're going to get bored because we know everything's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah.
So on the wrestling circuit, have you been, I don't know if you've heard of Metroplex Wrestling. That's a pretty big circuit here in Dallas, but I think they've gone to some other states.
No, when I was a pro wrestler, it's been almost 20 years, I believe, since I was a pro wrestler. So no, I haven't heard of them.
They were pretty cool at, because like they even had a few people who had quit WWE for them. They were just like, we're done with you, Vince. <We're> gonna...
Yeah.
Have you thought of even forming some of your own kind of just clubs and teaching dojos?
Yes. And, you know.
Gotta pick the right.
Those things to kind of, you know, kind of peter out and fall through, and, you know, everyone's schedule doesn't line up or everyone isn't reliable. You know, those things happen. It happens all the time, you know. So yes, I have tried that a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now I just, I teach people who want to be taught. So, I mean, you know, when the pandemic hit, I was perfectly fine with not doing much of anything and not teaching, but, I kept getting contacted. So I'm out there teaching, and I love to teach and I love my students, but, you know, it's not a make or break for me.
Okay, nice. And so obviously, yes, you know, being a teacher, that's just a benefit in and of itself. You know, you're transferring what you know and hoping that other people can recreate, you know, what you crafted and conjured up in your head. And have you just really been digging your class? I mean, I know you just said you like your students, but have they really just been taking it to heart?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. These kids are wonderful. They're great. And now they, you know, they see fight scenes in a different light now, you know, and sometimes, you know, we'll rehearse and I just want them to go through the motions, but, you know, they're going through the motions and they're giving me these facial expressions and, you know, acting like they're in pain and stuff. And I'm just like, that's great, you know, that they're doing that, you know, because that's what I taught them to do. You know?
Oh, totally. I did stage combat, but what was very annoying is that, you know, some people didn't take it all that seriously, and it's like this, and others were kind of mistaking them. Oh, I'm becoming a stuntman all of a sudden. I'm like, no, not even remotely. This works for a live venue, but this is the tip of the iceberg, you know. And so, do you feel like you're encountering a lot of, on occasion, people who just, again, they just think it's all magic. Anyone can do it. It's easy.
I encounter people who want to fight, want to, people with egos every once in a while, and
you're gonna, like, get it anywhere.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, we're doing like a rehearsed set or semi-rehearsed set, and then they'll take advantage knowing that the other person is waiting for something, so they'll go two or three beats ahead to make themselves feel
douchebags.
Yeah. And you know, and then you get the people who get the traditional martial, not traditional martial, but martial artists in general, who are like, oh, that's just fight choreography. That's not real. And it's like, okay, but you're an adult. Why are you so worried about fist fights now? If you're an adult, you should be smart enough to like avoid those, right? So let us go over here and do our fight choreography, because guess what? We can do 10 shows a week. You get into 10 fights a week and you'll be in jail. So,
right. No, yeah. That's true. I encountered a bunch of those snobs as well. And it was like, technically, it was like, I get it. Most people, their fists are going to probably go out after like five punches, just freaking someone's jaw. But it's like, you know, it's just like with food and fitness, you know, everyone's got different genetics and everything. It's all about, do you buy the gimmick? Do you buy the scenario? You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you don't, is the fight good? You know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's cool that you're having to actually just kind of open their craniums up and say, "Work with me here."
You
know?
Yeah.
You're gonna be asked for so many different things.
When I was like in my teens, you know, I used to be one of those guys. I mean, when I got into martial arts, I wanted to just beat people. You know, I wanted to be the best, and the best meant hitting grown men in the face. And I loved doing that, you know. And then my dad set me down and talked to me and changed my attitude. And then shortly after that, I think we did like a demonstration where me and a friend in the class, we did a demo, which I didn't know was called a fight scene. But we did a demo and
sweet.
It went over really, really well. And I was like, oh, this is what I want. I can look like I'm fighting, but not go to jail and not really get hurt that much. I like this, you know.
Totally. So. No, that's very cool. And have you thought of even kind of like how MMA was a way of mixing in street fighting with, you know, mixed martial arts? Have you thought of mixing in like, being an exclusive venue where you offer both martial arts and wrestling combined?
No. I mean, when I met up with the crew who saw my video at the high school that I went to, and we're all around the same age at this point, they were very skilled. We're all like same level as far as skilled martial artists. That Sweet. Was... really, I mean, it is really uncommon for because we love each other. We are a group of you know, skilled martial artists, no ego when it comes to each other, you know, and it's a tightly knit group, and we can go out there and we can do a martial arts fight improv. I can't do that we can't do that outside the group with anybody else. We can call it. We can do what wrestlers do. They call it in the ring. We can call it. We can call it, you know, during a live performance. As long as the crowd is loud, they won't hear us talking to each other.
No, so, that's so true. It's just like with mechanics, they get certain terminology that everyone else just goes over their head. Film people, they'll make certain jokes, you know, like, oh, boom mic in the shot, and everyone else, what are you talking about? You know, so that's cool that you got your own, again, keywords and lingo, and everyone's on the same page. And but then how do you break through that? You know, just not only with just, you've talked about how already introducing it, but at the same time, how do you even determine that people, you know, aside from ego aside, that certain people can actually make break through and will be teachable? Because there's plenty of them who after 2 hours, you can tell, okay, this just isn't for you. Just no amount of rewording it is going to make sense to anyone, or at least to this particular person. And it's nothing personal. It's just, you're not on that wavelength. So how do you determine that without, you know, having to deal with their ego?
You can, well, you notice that really, really early. I mean, I usually notice that really, really early. Because people who have, the instinct of like a fighter, they catch on pretty quick. people who, you know, have a high dexterity catch on, you know, or, you know, do fairly well. And then there's everybody else. And I don't mind. I'll teach anyone who doesn't act a fool. If I'm teaching someone who is able to go out there and use it, which, you know, I've gotten messages from people I've taught and shout outs or whatever, you know, hey, you know, if I hadn't taken your class or whatever. And then there's people who may just be there because they like me as a teacher. They want to stay in shape. They want something fun to do. You know, with the young kids, we can learn, and we can also talk about the MCU, you know, and we can reenact a fight scene from one of their favorite movies or whatever, you know, just for fun.
No, that's stellar. Because, well, one hard worker to another hard worker, although I'm not in the same way. Like, I can't do what you guys can do. So, you know, just, I can do a fall and not put my back out, but that's probably it. I can't do a giant fall or make myself look like a convincing fighter. So the most I can do is probably just look like a random alleyway guy and you kick the shit out of me. So that's, yeah. Now that you've broken through that and you've been able to define, you know, just like with any fitness training, like who's on what level, who's doing this for whatever reason, and either way, it's the same goal. I'll teach you the skill, spend you this much amount of time with so-and-so. Do you think that it's gotten better just to do a lot of independent martial arts teaching sites and so forth? Because it seemed like for a while, anyone could offer it, and you had to be able to tell just the serious trainers from those who were just doing it just for fun, just to have a random medal, you know?
Right. Now, are you talking about real martial arts, or are you talking about the court art?
For actually training in martial arts, have you noticed? Okay. So do you think a lot of that kind of toxicity is gone, or is there still some of that around where people are just trying to fight and be competitive?
No, the toxicity is growing.
Oh, dear.
In the martial arts community, because everybody's talking about, well, that wouldn't really work, and this, that, and the other, and it's just like, once again, what's happening is bullies are training bullies. Is what's happening a lot. That's unfortunate.
Bummer.
Yeah, bullies are training bullies, and this is an exaggeration, but I feel like one day, the only people who are going to be getting into fights are going to be martial artists fighting other martial artists, because they're always going around talking about, you got to stay ready. You know, you got to stay ready. And it's just like, dude, calm down. We're at HEB.
They're sounding like people who are prepped, the survivalists and the other toxic guys who are like, oh, buy every gun at a pawn shop you can, and just coming.
Yeah. And sometimes I got to break these guys down and be like, when was the last time you had a real fight? It was a long time ago, because you're a grown ass man, you know,
and you don't get into a fight, you end it.
Right. I like knowing that I can defend myself, and more power to people who want to learn how to defend themselves. And if one style doesn't work for them, go learn another style. But not learning a style because you think it's not going to help you in the street, get out the street. Don't go to that club. Don't go to that bar. You know, and if you get into a fight, chances are you're not going to get into a fight with 50 ninjas. You know, it might just be a little scuffle, and you go home and everything's fine.
Yeah. No, that's true. Everyone seems to act like, oh, it's the movies, you know, I'm going to be able to spot every gun or weapon coming within a mile's radius. It's like, no. The time you see it, they've already pulled it out and shot you.
A lot of the people that are getting in fights are looking for fights, and that's because they've been trained by a bad teacher who wants that money, because it costs money to train. Teachers get paid. So they want you to be terrified enough to join their class, to pay them that. Not all of them, but, you know.
No, no one is saying that. And
right.
Trigger warning for those listening. You know, we are going to talk about a bunch of self-defense, you know. Yeah, no, I mean, when my mother introduced me to it, I didn't take it seriously at all. I was a stupid, spoiled little shit. And before I made that mistake, that stayed with me, you know, doing that at that young an age at 9 or 10, just a few summers, and then saying, screw it, I'm not, my heart's just not in it. But I at least, what did stay with me was just knowing is like, okay, you know, but I never for one minute thought I should keep doing this. You know, like I should take it out of context. I should go around, you know, kicking the shit out of people. And it's just like, no, the whole point is self-defense. This is what you should do if someone is trying to kidnap you, possibly rape you, probably even kill you in a parking lot. And it can happen anywhere, you know, and this is post 9/11. So I never had any sense of, you know, there's evildoers out there. I just knew, okay. I knew the various game plan of what do we do if, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere and you have no access to your phone or whatever, you know.
Right.
And again, you walk around and you don't just trust anybody. And at the same time, you don't just, you know, you're going to be frantic and getting emotional and everything. And at the same time, you know, you can't let fear blind you. So I think that's the other thing too, is I would see a lot of people just act like, oh, anyone can go anywhere. And it's like, no, you clearly haven't been anywhere. Nothing. It wouldn't be a problem if you knew all the answers. So,
right. Exactly. Right. I mean, you should, I'm more likely to get into a fight than someone that doesn't know martial arts simply because I know martial arts. I love martial arts. When someone becomes aggressive, the first thing I think of is martial arts. Someone who isn't trained at all, doesn't love martial arts, doesn't watch a bunch of movies all the time, the first thing that comes to their mind isn't going to be a jump, spin, roundhouse, bell kick to the groin. Because it's just not. And therefore, they aren't going to do it. They'll do something else, like say, oh, I'm sorry, and walk away.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's been, you know, trained to be, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, and I try to, my students are a good example for me. I look at them and I'm like, these people wouldn't fight, hurt a fly, you know, and they have no, you know, they're not even thinking about this stuff. They come here they're having fun. We're having fun. Nobody cares about actually fighting. There are people, lots of people in this world who don't care about fighting and will avoid fights because it's stupid. We have evolved to a point where we shouldn't be, you know, walking around thinking about fighting all the time. Anyway, and we're in Texas, so people got guns.
So. Oh, totally. And I mean, when we were at the voting booths, you know, it's just like, I was telling my parents, and it's like, okay, I get that there's douchebags in the world, there's segregation, all that. Do not reply to anyone who's doing the whole, you know, I refuse to put on a mask. You know, some of these fuckers got guns. And the last thing you need to do is, you know, become marked. Because that's the other thing, too, is just like, and they just wanted to help and point out everything. I'm like, I guarantee you, they're not going to listen to you. They are thick-headed. You know, this is what you can't get through, you can't get through. So, you know, just like when you decide what student you're going to spend time with or not, it just seemed like everyone wants to get into each other's business, kind of like just work politics. Like everyone wants to hear what someone else is saying and report it instantly. It's like, I don't think you know what that's about, and stay in your zone, you know? Right. So would you say also discretion is just lacking? Like people unintentionally start a fight when there's just no reason for that in the first place? Like, why do you insert yourself in that situation? Why did you do this?
Yeah. No, yes. No, there's people who want to test me. You know, because, you know, they do what they call real martial arts and they see me as a fight choreographer and they think, oh, you know, well, you know, that's not, well, can you really do it? You know, what's this can you really do it shit? You know, I mean,
I've heard that. And that's about as offensive as when you ask a veteran from any kind of war or military division, how many have you killed? It's like, well, why would you want to ask such a morbid, fucked up thing? they don't know, and why would they want to relive those awful memories?
Yeah. And see, I come from a place where I wasn't always this age, so I thought like those people think. So I'm not.
Everyone has. We've all thought something we are regretting. It's like, wow, I thought that in gym class. I thought this. I made this slur that I thought was just people being stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that being able to talk to someone, you know, or being able to be talked out of that by someone who has thought those same thoughts at some point in their life, I think is better than, you know, is good for them. I think, I don't know.
No, that's true. It's kind of like just with any fitness, just you got all this energy and you're just all hyped up now, and the right people know how to channel it while the ones who can't. So
yeah, it's blue balls. All this training I've done, and I don't have anywhere, I can't use it. I got blue balls. I need to kick somebody. You know, I need to get into a fight so I can see, you know,
right.
Hey, you know, I get it too. You know what I do? Fight choreography. That's what I do.
Totally.
So, yeah.
It's kind of like, don't got a date, then just watch some porn, you know. But it does seem like, yeah, many don't know how to just, I don't know, just put their energy somewhere. Like, I used to encounter this with some family members. They didn't know what to do on their day off, and I just said, you know, that's why I formed this podcast. It's like, okay, I'm going to do something fun, be talking about with other people instead of being so fed up of, I can't hang out with anyone. It's like, yeah, yes, you can, technically.
Yeah.
If you're tired at eating a certain place, then make your own food. And there's a lot who just, you know, and it's just the same thing with friends. Just the ones who are very progressive and don't want to just be the one who complains, you know, hang out with them. Don't hang around with the ones who just got nothing but venom to spread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you think you've also helped strengthen a bunch of relationships with a bunch of pals who just give them a bunch of just better at just help them be better at making use of their time and intellect?
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, like I say, my students are wonderful. My core group is just the right type of people. If you're not the right type of person, you're either going to change or you're going to leave, you know, you're going to be asked to leave, you know, so it's, you know, and then when it comes to the fight choreography community, people who, you know, there's the people who don't care at all about martial arts. They just want, like, the actors and actresses that come through who just want to learn how to do a couple moves because they have a gig coming up. You know, there's those people too, you know?
Makes sense.
Yeah. And those people, they always leave with knowledge. They always leave with knowledge. So.
Very cool. Okay. Well, this has been one very wonderful. I'd be amiss if I didn't ask, what kind of martial arts have you trained in? Can't believe I.
Well, now that I'm, you know, like 147 years old, I'm a little bit of everything, but, I did judo, I did Chinese Kenpo. Boxing, and a little bit of capoeira,
any Krav Maga?
No, I haven't dabbled into any of the post what's cool on the UFC circuit stuff, actually.
Oh, good.
That I know of. I mean, I haven't done much of that. I want to do some jiu-jitsu, but I haven't gotten into that either. But a wide range of things at this point. But those that I mentioned were, like, you know, the main ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Very cool. So we're fighting, you know, stuff like that.
Sweet. Okay. And anything else you would like to promote at this time before we wrap this up?
Oh, wow.
Your school or any other projects?
Channel. Starting up a YouTube channel. The name of the channel is Real Truth, and it is real, like a movie reel, R-E-E-L, and truth, the slang way of spelling, T-R-O-O-F, truth. Real Truth is the name of the channel. But yeah, that's I'm getting that up and going, and I mean, I'm going to start it off with, I got some old videos from way back, but I just kind of let those kind of sit there for a while. But I'm starting back up. I'm going to be reviewing all of the major fight scenes from the Star Wars saga episodes 1 through 9, none of the spinoffs, because I did used to teach lightsaber combat. I even had, you know, like there was a connection with Disney. They would tell us what we could and could not do. I was a Jedi, all that good stuff. That was fun.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You hear that, Nick Gillard? There's a Star Wars choreographer coming out. Okay. And what is the name of the school again? It's,
I teach combat choreography is what I teach. Combat choreography. We are going through a pandemic, so I'm, you know, not teaching a whole lot of people right now. Yep. I mean, I can't be contacted, you know, but I teach combat choreography.
Okay, very cool.
It is a side project, side project.
Okay, where can people contact you on the web?
You can contact me on Facebook. Name's John Sadbury on Facebook. I have two profiles. One is active, and the one that is active has a profile picture of me as the Teletubbies.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you ever so much for being on here. This was just very eye-opening to just know that there's some other independent talents who got their shit together.
I appreciate you having me. Yeah.
By all means, this was also eye-opening because I've always thought about the independent circuits. It's good to kind of be able to pinpoint and see what's kind of going on for those closer to it. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Okay. I'm glad I ran across your post. So.
you did pretty good.
We'll return after these messages.
JURRS Podcast is proud to promote AutoCorrect, an independent film company with experienced industry professionals who can serve all your film industry needs. They include self-tapes, voice actor recordings, demo reel editing, script revisions, headshots, and much more. They're AutoCorrect at your request. Book them on Instagram.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, chin cough, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
The next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am
in the most sincerest sense, is disappointed in it.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that.
Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of
it. Unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist.
Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept popping up.
Little history doll popping up at you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped from watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a rough
movie.
How
did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey.
And I'm Zach, and we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
Greetings, friends. My name is Dean Legiro, and I'm the host of the 3324 Podcast. I invite you to join me and my lifelong friend Eric Huber to come with us as we discuss the music and movies that shaped our life. Each week, we'll pick an album or film that we really connect to, and not only give you some great info and trivia, but also discuss, debate, and celebrate what it means to us and the journey it took us on. We also look forward to hearing from you and giving us some of your picks for us to check out and discuss. I think it'll be a really fun experience, so come along with us for the ride. You can find us on your favorite podcast provider, and at 3324.buzzsprout.com. Thanks for your time, and welcome to the 3324 family.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones, too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh, yeah. Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes, a gratuitous movie. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
At EILFM.podbean.com.
We now continue with our program.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening.
It's a Jacked Up Review Show. It's a